5:24 of John's Gospel, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me hath eternal life, and cometh not into judgment, but hath passed out of death into life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour cometh and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, even so gave he to the Son also to have life in himself, and he gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is a Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour cometh in which all that are in the tombs shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. It is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. He hath sent unto John, and he hath borne witness unto the truth. But the witness which I accept is not from man. Howbeit, I say these things, that you may be saved. He was the lamp that burneth and shineth, and you were willing to rejoice for a season in his light. But the witness which I have is greater than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to accomplish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father that sent, and he that sent me, he hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he sent, him ye believe not. Ye search the scriptures, because ye think that in them ye have eternal life. And these are they which bear witness of me. And ye will not come to me, that you may have life. I accept not glory from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in yourselves. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe, who receive glory one of another, and the glory that cometh from the only God ye seek not? Think not that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, Moses, on whom ye have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writing, how shall ye believe my word? Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we are thankful that thy Son is unlike any other man that walked upon the earth. Indeed, he was God manifest in the flesh. But thou dost know that we have to weigh and examine all the words that the best of men speak. But we are thankful that, having learned of thy Son, we understand that his words are without exception the words of God. We rejoice in this. And our Father, we have learned to peruse his words, because of them every jot and tittle are perfection. We are thankful, our Father, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. We are thankful for the truth that issued from his lips that we have read this morning. We pray that it shall issue in life. Who can bring life to the dead save God? And therefore, by thy Spirit, those this morning who are dead in trespasses and in sins, impart life. And Father, who is sufficient to speak these words, telling lost sinners how to be saved, telling thy children how to live? And yet thou dost tell us that we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. And so for the strength that we need, and for the purity of heart that we need, we confess our sins. Thou shalt do all these things, our Father, to glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. It is evident that in the month of March, we shan't be able to get through all the precious truths in this fifth chapter of the Gospel. But I want to bring out a few more truths, if time allows, and to speak in verses 24 and 5 of the salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ wills to give particular individuals. Now, at times, I have no argument, I have no apology for telling you that the Bible speaks about those being chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world. But at the same time, I have no apology in telling you that when the Lord Jesus tells us in this portion that he gives life to whom he will, verse 24 tells us to whom he wills to give life. He will give life to anybody that will hear his word and believe the Father that sent him. And so, if you this morning are prepared to believe and to receive, it is the will of the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. The Bible knows absolutely nothing of a man who wants to be saved, but God does not want to save him. The Bible knows all about men whom God desires to save, but they do not want to be saved. I read you about some in this chapter earlier, and perhaps we'll hear about them again. God is not willing that any should perish, neither is the Lord Jesus. But it is God's way of salvation only to save those that believe. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. And so please notice that it's not the elect, it's not the predestinated. It says it pleased God to save those that believe. And in this portion it tells us that everyone who will hear and believe has eternal life. What is the will of Jesus Christ as to giving life? It is that the one that will hear his voice shall receive eternal life. It is just that simple. And as I thought this thing through, it should not be that those that are lost even know anything about the intimate secrets of God. What has happened is that we who have been born again have let come from our lips things that should perhaps be spoken among ourselves. But then Satan will take the truth of God and use it to destroy a man. Because the truth of God is that some are chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And so instead of listening to a verse like this, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. That's the message to you, unsaved sinner. Instead of that, they start thinking, oh, well then, if I weren't chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, I won't be saved. And if I weren't chosen in Christ, I can't believe. You see, all of these things are true. But Satan takes the truth of God and would have your mind filled with that, with all of its complexities that no Christian has ever been able to comprehend. Instead of your being directed to such verses as John 5:24, that if you hear his word and believe God that sent him, you have everlasting life. So that's the message to you. I guarantee you this. Keep troubling your mind about, oh, am I among the elect? Oh, can I understand God's way of salvation? Can I understand the omnipotence and the omniscience and the all-knowing God of heaven? I tell you, have your mind filled with those things continually, and you will never be saved. But have in your mind this truth, that God loved you, and he gave his Son to die for your sins. And if you will hear his Son's word and believe the Father that sent him, you have everlasting life. And then you will see into heaven. You will understand some of the things that are true concerning elect God. But this is the message to you, sinner. Nothing at all about Ephesians chapter 1. But the message to you is John 5:24, Romans 10:9. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believing, confessing with your lips. That's the message to you. And so listen to it. It's beauty. It's simplicity. It's being a foundation. That is a sure foundation. Only in John's Gospel does he introduce his words, verily, verily, I say unto you. In the other Gospels, he simply mentions certain things with the preface, "Verily I say unto you, the day shalt thou be with me in paradise." That's what he says in the Gospel of Luke. But in John's Gospel, he mentions things here that are not found in the other Gospels, and they are prefaced with these words, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." And so in this instance, please notice, in this instance, though, because the Son is upon the scene, and he speaks certain words, and the Father sent the Son, of necessity, you must believe the Father and the Son. Because there is no such thing as a man who has believed the Father, but has not believed the Son. There is no such thing, John tells us in his epistle, that I love God, but I do not love my brother in Christ. The Bible says this is a contradiction. Or, I love my fellow man, but I do not love God. I do not believe in God. That is a contradiction. And the Bible teaches that there is no such thing as believing God the Father, but I do not believe the Son. The Lord Jesus says in 5:24, "He that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me." It is the combined testimony of the Father and the Son. You cannot say, I believe God, but I do not believe the Son, but it is a combined testimony. And the Lord Jesus is bringing together in this verse the purpose of the Father, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. And therefore, he says, you must believe me as well as the Father. He that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me hath everlasting life. Now, are you prepared to embrace the Lord Jesus as one with the Father? If not, there is no salvation. If you say that Jesus is inferior, that Jesus is some way less than God, there will be no salvation. If you say, I can believe the words of God, but I cannot believe the words of the Lord Jesus, you will never be saved. Because the words of the Lord Jesus are the words of God. He tells us in chapter 8, you remember I told you three times that the Savior said he could do nothing of himself. Twice in this chapter and once in chapter 8. He said that he can do nothing of himself, but as he sees, he works. He says in chapter 8 that as he hears, he judges. And in chapter 8, he says, as I am taught, I speak. And so he sees, he hears, he is taught, and he sees, and he works. He hears, he makes decisions, and he is taught, and he speaks. And so if you believe Christ's words, you are believing God's words. There was no utterance that came from his lips. There was not an utterance from the very heart of God. I say things, all men say things that are at times imperfect, but the Lord Jesus never uttered a word or had a thought that was contrary to the perfect mind of God, because he was God in human form. This is what the Bible is teaching. And therefore, notice carefully that in 5:24 he says, "He that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me," he mentions the Father and the Son. But now, inasmuch as he takes it for granted that you would believe the Father's testimony concerning the Son, in the next verse he leaves out the Father. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour cometh and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." You see? The Lord Jesus is telling you that it is taken for granted that you believe the Father's testimony concerning him, and therefore he does not even mention in verse 25 the Father, because it's a foregone conclusion that you had believed the testimony of the Father concerning the Son, and therefore the Son says that if you hear my voice, you have everlasting life. How profound that the Lord Jesus is either claiming to be God, equal with God, as the Jews accuse him of blasphemously saying, or else the man is saying something that is insane. But as on an occasion when they said, "These are not the words of a man demon possessed," I say that these are not the words of a madman. These are words, as Peter says in John chapter 6, these are the words of God. Lord Jesus, if we left you, to whom should we go? You have the words of eternal life, and these are the words of God's only begotten Son, and he speaks them. All right. What is so remarkable about salvation in verse 24? There is so much to tell you, I would like to leave it, but I can't. I have to tell you this, that the assurance of salvation, the immovable foundation that is your sinner friend, that if you believe the testimony of God concerning his Son, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear you him." And if you believe the Father, and if you believe the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you hear his word, it says that you have everlasting life. Eternal life is yours. It is not a thing that ultimately you hope to receive, but what the Bible teaches and what man cannot accept, because it would exclude him, his imperfections, his failures. The thing that he cannot accept is that if by faith he receives Christ, he has as a present possession eternal life. But that is the teaching of the Word of God. You enter into it in its fullness and into its reality when the Lord Jesus comes again. But immediately it becomes yours upon receiving. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You say, but it says to become, yes. And you become the son of God when you receive him. You have eternal life. That takes care of the present. And what about the future? It says, you shall not come into condemnation. And what about the past? You have passed from death unto life. And so that is why this birth is so magnificent. It embraces all time. It embraces all conditions, all extenuating circumstances, because it looks at your past. And you were dead, sinner friend, in trespasses and in sins. But you passed from death unto life, and right now you have eternal life. But what about the future, my failures? You shall not come into condemnation, but you passed from death unto life. And when a sinner realizes the magnitude of this birth, how exceeding great and precious it is, then he rests eternally upon a foundation that is God himself, because this is God's salvation that I tell you about, and it embraces your past, your present, and your future, not being conducive to sin, but so overpowering you, the greatness of God's salvation, that we shall not continue in sin that grace may abound. But Paul expounds that many years later, after the Lord Jesus spoke these words on earth. But simply accept this as being assured from God's word, that all of your being is embraced, your past, your present, and your future, if you receive the Lord Jesus as Savior. Now, I must explain this. In verse 25, as it says in Ephesians 2, it is describing, in a figurative sense, those that are dead. Because it says in Ephesians 2, you have he quickened. The word quickened simply means you have he made alive who were dead in your trespasses and in your sins. There was a spiritual death. Right now, all of you who have not been born again are dead. And the Lord Jesus says in verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour cometh, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And so he tells us two things, that even though you are spiritually dead, you can hear with your natural senses the voice of the Son of God. But I demonstrated last week that the same word hear can mean either to hear with your natural senses or to obey, to accept, to receive the words that he speaks. And that is what it means the second time he speaks. It says this in John chapter 6. It says, as they heard these things, they said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? The same word. They heard these things. They said, who can hear it? They heard it, but they said, we can't receive it. The Lord Jesus said, you have to hear it, because faith cometh by hearing, and having heard it, you have to believe it. You have to embrace it. There is a hearing that receives, and there is a hearing that simply comprehends the facts. And so the Lord Jesus says in chapter 5 concerning you who are spiritually dead, that the hour cometh and now is. Thank God it is no longer pointing to a time when men can be saved. No longer pointing to a time when the Messiah, the promised Messiah, is going to come. The woman in John 4 said, well, the Messiah is going to come. When he comes, he will tell us all things. The Lord Jesus said, he that speaketh unto thee is he. You see, the hour cometh, yes, but it now is. And the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, is speaking. Only at that time did they actually hear his voice. The few years that he had public ministry, some 3 years, a little more, they heard the voice of the Son of God. Well then, does that mean that only those who heard him speak audible words could be saved? By no means. You are hearing the voice of the Son of God as the Spirit gives utterance, and as I bring to your attention the very words of Scripture, you are hearing the words of the Son of God. And it says, if you will hearken to those words, if you will accept them, you will be saved, because they are interchangeable. He that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me hath everlasting life. He shows you that hearing and believing are equivalent. To hear is to embrace. To believe is to receive. He tells you the same thing in John chapter 1. It says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Believing is receiving. Believing is hearing, hearkening to the word of God. And so the Lord expresses it in different ways. But this time, it is hearing with a receptive ear, an obedient ear. And the Lord Jesus tells you that no longer do men wait for the promised Messiah, wait for the message of salvation, wait for the full orb light of heaven to come, because light is come. The Lord Jesus tells us as early as chapter 3, light is come, and they that hear shall live. And verse 26 explains it. For as the Father hath life in himself, even so gave he to the Son to have life in himself. How is it that those that hear the voice of the Son of God can live? Because the Father has given the Son to have life in himself, and the Son can impart this life to whom he will. And to whom does the Son will to impart this life? Any man that with an obedient ear, a hearkening ear, will receive him, Savior. And so the will of the Son of God is that you would be saved this morning. You are hearing his voice, as I tell you from the Scripture, his way of salvation. And when you believe and receive him as Savior, the Lord Jesus gives you eternal life. This is the glorious message in this portion. And he says, marvel not at this. For a man to hear that there is one who can dispose of his destiny on earth and his eternal welfare is enough to cause a man to marvel, to fill him with awe. And yet the Lord Jesus says, marvel not at this. He said, yes, I can give you eternal life right now. And I can tell you that you have life, that you shall not come into judgment. He said, but marvel not at this. God is going to tell you something more startling, which is this. All of the dead people who have ever been born and died, all of the dead of earth, those that are in the tombs. Now please notice, the Lord Jesus is distinguishing here between the spiritually dead in verse 25, because he says, marvel not at this, for the hour cometh. He does not say and now is, because the hour of the resurrection is not come. He says, the hour cometh in which all that are in the tombs shall hear his voice and shall come forth. There are some who hear his voice now that are spiritually dead, and they will not come unto him that they may have life. But when the Lord Jesus Christ utters at that day of resurrection his voice, then all that are in the tombs shall come forth. And he who has power to give eternal life has power to give physical life to those dead bodies. And then when they come forth, the Lord Jesus will say, as in similar words to Matthew 25, come, you blessed of my Father, or depart, you cursed, into everlasting life. And so the one thing is enough to cause men to marvel, but not in the light and in comparison to the fact that Jesus Christ can call dead beings into existence again and then tell them whether they go eternally into hell or eternally into the presence of the Father. This is something to cause men to marvel. And the Lord Jesus says, the Father has bestowed all of these privileges upon me that you may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. And I think of the Unitarians and the Jehovah's Witnesses and the rationalists who give Jesus a place, the best of men, and do not realize that they are to honor him even as they honor the Father. Your destiny is in this man's hands, this man who is the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, the Word of God made flesh. And the Lord Jesus says, if you will not honor me as you honor the Father, there will be no life, because only the Son imparts life to lost sinners, and only the Son disposes of your eternal destiny. And so what you're going to become eternally is in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to know that. Please notice that I have spoken of one act. He that heareth my word and believes, that is one act. It says, the hour cometh and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. This is one act. However, in verse 29, the Lord Jesus tells us about those coming forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life. They that have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Do not think that I am telling you this morning that you can simply say, I believe, and can continue in sin, and that saying, I believe, will result in eternal life. By no means. When a man has been born again, he is empowered by the Spirit of God to live for the Lord Jesus, and the life as a whole of the man is not something of perfection. God knows it should be, but there is no man, neither John nor Paul nor Matthew nor James nor any other of the apostles, can say, my life has been one of perfection. But thank God their life has consistently been devoted to God. And so in this instance, the Lord Jesus is not speaking of the one act that secures life, but the faith, the living faith that promotes a life of goodness after you have received the Lord Jesus as Savior. And so all of us who say, I believe, but our life has been nothing but continual sin thereafter. The homosexuals that say, I am saved, but continue to be homosexuals. The adulterers, the fornicators, the effeminate, as it says. None of those have any inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Jesus Christ. But thank God, we who have been delivered from some such things, if it may be. If this has happened, and then God has given us deliverance and grace and strength, then we are among those who shall come forth, you see. We have practiced good by the grace of God. By the grace of God, we believe, and our life has been enabled of God to do good. Now, after that, the Lord is giving here four things. I cannot go into details. I cannot give you the subtleties, the nuances concerning them all, but I will bring them to your attention. The witnesses that we have here, and I shall simply list them. And there is the witness of John the Baptist. There is the witness of God the Father. There is the witness of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is the witness of the Word of God. And what is so startling, and I purposely changed the word even in the 1901, received to accepted, because when it says, as many as received him, it means as many as accepted him, to then give he the right to become the sons of God. The Lord Jesus said, I receive not the glory of men. You're liable to think that he's saying, men do not bestow honor upon me. But what he's saying is this, I accept not the glory, the testimony of man. As if the Lord Jesus had to have any man to come and with his own testimony confirm and make him the Christ. He is the Christ. It makes no difference who says he is or is not. When a man says he is the promised Messiah, he is bearing witness to the truth, but it does not make him the promised Messiah anymore. As if the Lord Jesus said, oh, John said that I was the Messiah. Well, then I will accept that. I see. So I am the promised Messiah. That is not it at all. The Lord Jesus doesn't accept the witness of John. The Lord Jesus didn't have to. He knew who he was. And in the words of Psalm 22, for those, and rightly so, that speak about the development of the Lord Jesus as a man. It says in Luke 2:52, he advanced in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. But it says in Psalm 22, I was cast upon thee from the womb. I did trust upon thee. Thou didst make me trust from my mother's belly. Understand that the Lord Jesus was trusting from the very beginning upon his Father. He is the eternal one. From the beginning he trusted. Not at some later date, at 12 or some other time. He was cast upon God from the womb, using the words of Psalm 22, that messianic psalm. And so in these instances, yes, the testimony of John. And notice this, all of those I see, and I'm so thankful that the Lord Jesus shows us just in these offhanded remarks, if you will accept that explanation of it. Look down at verse 33. He says, you have sent unto John, and he has borne witness of the truth. But I accept not the witness of John, but the witness which I receive is not from man, howbeit I say these things, that you may be saved. You understand that Christ doesn't need these things, but you do. John was the best that God could produce of sinful men. Of those born of women, there has not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. But John was a sinful man, and he bore witness to Christ. I am a sinful man, but I bear witness to Christ. But it is not I who say. It is not John the Baptist who saves. It is not the Apostle Paul who saves. But it is Christ himself who saves. We point to Christ. And you accept our testimony as it conforms to the Word of God as the Bereans. They search the Scriptures daily whether these things are so. And so the Lord Jesus Christ mentions John the Baptist. And he says, I tell you about the witness of John the Baptist that you may be saved. Is this not delightful? For those that speak about those that are condemned and cannot believe, the Lord Jesus says, I will tell you about the witness of John the Baptist, that you may be saved. He is speaking of human instrumentality in saving people. Not some sovereign act of God, but here, I tell you the testimony of John the Baptist, that you may be saved. And so the Lord Jesus Christ believes that the words spoken by sinful men can save individuals. Because if I quote John 3:16, The word saved. If John the Baptist witnesses concerning the truth, the words that he speaks that are the truth, they saved. And so this is what he's telling. There are witnesses here. John the Baptist testified concerning Christ. The word of God testified concerning the Lord Jesus. The Father testified concerning the Lord Jesus. And the works of the Lord Jesus, they also testified concerning him. And so when the Savior spoke, and he said, Son, I say unto thee, thy sins are forgiven. The Pharisees said, why, this man blasphemes. But the Lord Jesus said, what it is easy to say, thy sins are forgiven, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, take up your bed, go home. And the man did so. This work confirmed the truth of his words. And so the Lord Jesus tells us all of these things, but the ultimate witness is that of God, and you'll have to read it yourself in 1 John 5. And this is the witness that God hath witnessed concerning his Son, that he hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath the life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not the life. That's the witness of God, the greatest witness of all, that God has given eternal life to sinful men. Is such a thing possible? Possible. God says it is. I have given eternal life to sinful men, and this life is in my Son. If you have my Son, you have eternal life. If you have not my Son, you have not eternal life. And God uses all of these things that you may be saved. But this morning, get to the ultimate testimony, the ultimate source, which is the testimony of God himself. He says, this is my Son. If you have him, you have eternal life. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ and live. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the deep things of God, and we are thankful for the simple things of God that sinners can hear and believe. We are so glad that the will of thy Son is that all should hear the voice of the Son of God and hearken to that voice and receive eternal life. We are thankful that we know thy will, Father. God is not willing that any should perish. We are thankful that positively you would have all men to come to the knowledge of the truth to be saved. We rejoice in this. And so help those that are sinners this morning not to be deceived by Satan, but let them understand the truth of these words. You will not come unto me that you might have life. Show them this morning, Father, that it is the obstinacy of their own unwilling hearts to be saved. You want them to be saved. You sent your Son from heaven that they might be saved. Show them, Father, that only their unwillingness stands between them and eternal life. And by thy Spirit, Father, because salvation is of the Lord, not of him that willeth nor of him that runneth, but of God that has mercy. Convict of sin and righteousness and judgment. And then, Father, may those stubborn wills yield to thine. May life be given to those who are dead in their trespasses and in their sins this morning. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. If you ask, why would a man pray to God, lead me not into temptation, bring me not into temptation, why, who would think of such a thing? Why, it is an unnecessary thing to pray. But our Savior taught us to pray that. Bring us not into temptation. Would he tell you to pray for something that was not a possibility? You say, well, upon what condition would God bring me into temptation? Why, the very condition that I read you about in Luke 22. Our Savior said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. That's temptation. Sifting. You sift wheat to get rid of the chaff. And so Satan is going to sift Peter, and the Lord has told him that. But Peter says, Satan is going to sift me as wheat? Lord, I'm prepared to go to prison with you. I'm prepared to die with you. And what man is going to be delivered by our Lord into temptation? I'll tell you what man, a self-sufficient individual. You think you are strong. The Bible says, he that thinketh he standeth, let him take heed lest he fall. And if a man boasts that he's ready to go to prison with Jesus, he's ready to die for the Lord. I love you so much, O God. My whole heart is dedicated to thee. My all is upon the altar.
And the Lord says, pray. The devil is going to tempt you. He's going to sift you as wheat. And you say, it's impossible for the devil to tempt me and overcome me. That is the time when the Lord says, all right, O vain, boastful, proud man. And Satan says, let me have him. And the Bible says, the devil has asked to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And God says, all right, Simon, you are delivered into temptation. And when Satan got through with Simon Peter, and the Lord said, and now Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he bowed his head in shame and finally said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that at least I love you a little bit. And so he had been cured. You want to be delivered not into temptation? Then be humble. You who think you stand, take heed lest you fall. But if you humble yourself before God and cast yourself in dependence upon him and follow Christ's instructions, sin shall not have dominion over us. We shall be more than conquerors through him who loved us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee for the advice that comes from thy Son, the Lord Jesus, the man who at no time sinned. He said, watch and pray. Rise and pray that you enter not into temptation. And they slept, while our Savior himself, who gave the advice, followed the advice. And our Savior rose from off the ground and went forth victoriously into the hands of his enemies. Now is your hour and the power of darkness. And he endured the cross, despising the shame. We are so thankful, Father, that this one overcame all the temptations of life. He went to the cross and bore our sins in his own body upon the tree. Here is one who came off unscathed from every temptation of the devil of life. And he is the one who went to the cross and died for the sins and shortcomings, our failures. And so may all of us this day not believe for a while, not have a superficial belief, but a belief in thy Son as the Savior, the one whose blood cleanses from all sin. Let us place our faith upon him forever and never flee to any other refuge or defense. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. And so may each one of us know this day that he has overcome the devil and sin and death and the grave. And let us trust him as the one who liveth forevermore. Work in our hearts, and may we come off victorious from temptation, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.